What a blessing to come to the house of prayer, the house of God, this morning. We've had some introduction already this morning to this topic, and certainly in the song and in the praise, in the reading of the word and that introduction. Thank you for that, Mark. And so if we open up again at Nehemiah, chapter 8, please, before we come to prayer. Nehemiah chapter 8. Let's ask the Lord's help. Heavenly Father, I depend on you this morning. I pray that you would take my lips and make them thine, Lord. I pray that you would speak, Lord, the words of life to us this morning through your Holy Spirit, Lord. Make it alive. Make this word alive to each and every one this morning, that we may go out in the joy of the Lord and know it as our only source of strength, that we may not depend on fleeting emotions and joys that the world has to offer, but that the deep and true joy of the Lord might be our strength. We pray this in your precious name. Help your people, Lord. Amen. Amen. You know, we have certain joys and happiness in this life, and certainly there are emotions and feelings that flee, that come and go, and joys. But the joy of the Lord is not like that. And the joy of the Lord is something that is built on a rock. We just sang of that rock in the last hymn. The Lord Jesus, he is the rock and our strength. The woman at the well, the Samaritan woman who came to the Lord, and the Lord asked her for water. He spoke of a different water and a different joy as it is, and a well springing up unto everlasting life. And, you know, I want to say this morning that that well is very deep. The Lord's well is deep. There is no deeper well than the Lord's. That joy, that eternal life that those who know him possess. So the true joy of the Lord, I want to talk about that this morning. Well, our four aspects of rejoicing and joy in the Lord, we could look at those this morning. The first one I want to look at, that we should rejoice that our sins are forgiven. Man, that's the greatest joy, is it not? The joy of knowing our sins are forgiven. In the book of Luke, actually, if we could look to the book of Luke and chapter 10, we read from verse 17 of the 70, actually, who came back, and they brought a good report back to the Lord Jesus. They were sent forth, and they returned with joy in verse 17. Luke chapter 10, verse 17, the joy of the Lord in salvation, the joy of the Lord knowing your sins are forgiven. The 70 return in verse 17 again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. I'm going to leap for joy this morning because your name, if you're a believer this morning, your name is written in heaven. And though you might be frail and weak, though you might have a bad day or a bad week or a bad month or year, this is the joy that the Lord wants to give, that deep well that he talks about, that is not at the surface. It's not at the surface level of our emotions and feelings. But it's based on a rock. It's based on the Lord's word. And that word, that pen, has written your and my name in heaven. That's why the Lord said rejoice. They saw the outward signs. They saw the wonders. And you know, it must have been an amazing thing that the 70 come back and they're rejoicing. These young Christians who have just come to know Christ, who are walking with him. Those few months, years, they come again with joy saying, Lord, even the devils are subject to us. And Jesus said, I saw Satan falling from heaven as lightning. I give you power. I give you power over the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. But don't rejoice in that. Don't rejoice in just that. Rejoice rather that your names are written in heaven. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. The joy of salvation. Rejoice, Isaiah says, Isaiah 61:10, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. What joy, brothers and sisters. He has clothed you and I with garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. Habakkuk 3:18, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Joy in salvation. Joy in salvation. Psalm 21:1, the king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation, how greatly shall he rejoice. What a wonder. What a wonder that we can be part of that this morning here in the Blue Mountains. You know, from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, unto the uttermost parts of the earth, even as that woman at the well who went and told the whole city of the greatness of the one she spoke with, the one who spoke about the joy and the well of water that can spring up into everlasting life. Jesus, his salvation, what joy. Psalm 35:9 says, my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation. My soul. The very inner core, the very joy, the very well that springs up out of you and I as believers. So the first thing, how prominent it is that we should rejoice that our sins are forgiven. You know, we read from Nehemiah, and you know, the book of Nehemiah is about a building. He's known as God's builder, this man. You know, and he built the breaches in the wall. He built that which the enemies had left, and there were holes in that wall, in that fortified city. And he built that up. And today, brothers and sisters, we have the Word of God. In the same way that the Word of God, as Nehemiah built those physical walls, so God is building a people. He builds them up. He builds up you and I through the preaching and the hearing of his Word, through the study and meditation on his Word, through the Holy Spirit, which takes these words and makes them alive in your hearts, in your heart and in mine. And so in the same sense, we read of the return of God's law and the practice and the reading of God's law. As Mark said, they read from the morning till lunchtime. They read for hours. And all the people stood still. They were attentive. Their ears. I wonder if we could do that, if we could have a service one day starting at 6 till lunchtime, 6 hours worth of reading. You know, we shouldn't, grow tired of that, because if the Holy Spirit is behind it, it will be alive and it will be quickened. If it's a dead letter, if it's something that, you know, is done out of religiosity, then yes, certainly. We'll all fall asleep in that six-hour period. But if it's the Holy Spirit who quickens, if it's you and I who can hear the truth and the Word of God, we can sit on and that time can just go round and round, and we can hear the living Word of God. And that's what happened. That's what happened as Ezra got up, and they had a pulpit of wood just like this here. And he had his offsiders with him, and they stood, and Ezra the priest gave the Word of God. And all the people greatly rejoiced, and they found that their joy was in the Lord. They found that their joy was in his Word. And so the second point is that rejoice that you understand the Word of God, that you've got the sense that you have the Holy Spirit, that this Word is not a dead letter, that when you open your Bible in the morning, that when you open the Word of God at night with your children, that when you walk in your day, maybe you're on the building site, or you're driving a tractor or whatever you might do, or you're in the office, and suddenly the Word of God comes to you. Suddenly you remember a verse, the Holy Spirit speaking to you at that very time, in that moment, and you rejoice in the Word, that you have fellowship with God, that you understand his Word. So many people need an interpreter for this Word. We have so many religions and denominations built around the interpretation of man, that man should interpret this Word for you. And yes, we have the preaching of God's Word, and we have preachers and those ordained in the church to certain functions, but we have the Holy Spirit. If you are saved and you have the Holy Spirit this morning, you can understand the sense of the Word, just as in Nehemiah's day. He caused them to have sense. They understood the Word of God, the passage. You know, to some, this book lies on the shelf, dead. To some, perhaps, they read it and the words do not speak life. And you know, when the Word of God was brought out in Nehemiah's day and Ezra read the Word of God, the hearts of the people were stirred. I pray your hearts would be stirred this morning as we read the Word of God. That our hearts are tender and teachable. teachable. That's how the people's hearts were. They were tender and they were teachable. They wept when they heard the word of the law. And I'll just read that Bible reading again, please. Nehemiah, if you could turn there also. Nehemiah 8:8. So they read in the book, in the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. As I said, that is a function of those who stand here. But I can stand here, and Wayne and other brethren, they can stand here and give the sense and the meaning of this word, but it's the Holy Spirit alone who in your hearts can meet the word of God, the Holy Ghost meet in your heart, and then you're personally convicted. You're personally awakened. You're personally made alive by the word of God. You can have the best preacher up here this morning. You can have the greatest missionary come and preach the word, and there might be some in the congregation who it doesn't touch at all. Because it's not in that. It's in the Holy Spirit. It's in the quickening of the Holy Ghost to your heart, to my heart. And this is a type of the Spirit of God. They cause them to understand the reading. And they taught the people. And they said to the people, because the people were weeping, they said, "Do not mourn nor weep. For all the people wept," verse 9, "when they heard the words of the law." You know, when the Holy Spirit comes and convicts you and me of my sin, you know, he comes and he shows my shortcomings, and he does that so that I may rejoice in him, so that I may not rely on my own goodness, so that I may not rely on my own strength and abilities, but that I may joy in the Lord alone in what he has done. So rejoice, number two, that you understand the word of God. Number one was rejoice that your sins are forgiven. Leap for joy. Leap for joy because your names are written in heaven in the book of life. Number two, rejoice that you understand the word of God, that the Bible is alive in your heart. I pray it would be. I pray it would be. And if it's not, maybe you're like the people in Nehemiah's day who sat there and only when the book was opened and they got the sense of it and the Holy Spirit caused them to understand, then we might have some here who will weep this morning. We might have some here who will weep because they understand the word of God. They understand how the greatness of God and how far short we fall of that God. And then the Holy Spirit, God through his word, will say to you, rejoice. Take the joy of the Lord as your strength. Do not weep today, but let your weeping turn to joy. And it will take you to be tender and teachable this morning. It will take me to be tender and teachable this morning to the word of God. You know, you can only have true joy when you understand the word of God, when his word makes sense to you. You know, like I said at the beginning, all the joys of this world are fleeting. They're fleeting. They're like a blade of grass which springs up one day and goes the next. But the Lord, he wants us to be strong and steadfast. The Lord Jesus wants us to endure to the end. So if you have tears of repentance this morning, if you have tears of repentance in your quiet time, when you open the Word of God and the Word of God becomes alive to you and you see something you never saw before, let your tears of repentance turn to joy. Because the Lord says, walk in the power of my word. Let your joy turn to strength. Let your joy turn to strength. So number one, rejoice your sins are forgiven. Number two, rejoice that you understand the word of God. And now number three, understand that the joy of the Lord is our strength in hard times. Understand, God's people, that the joy of the Lord will be our strength in hard times. You know, there are so many circumstances to feel down. There are so many times you wake up in the morning and you don't know where it's come from, but there's a depressing thought or an anxiety or a fear. All those things that come in to the life of a human, to the life of a child of God. And the Lord says to us, let my joy be your strength in hard times, in depressing times. You think of Paul and Silas in the book of Acts. You know, there they are and they're bound in shackles. They're bound in irons. And they begin to sing praises to God and the prisoners hear them. You think of the persecuted church, and I know I've been on that topic for a little while. The persecuted brethren who, how do they have joy in spite of suffering? How can they rejoice when all circumstance around them says this does not make sense? Your families, oftentimes the father goes to prison, he's the pastor. The authorities target the ones who are on the front line. And so the family, what does the family have to joy about? What can they rejoice in when the breadwinner is locked up? You know, what joy is there in affliction? What joy is there in stripes and imprisonments and in all those things? It's a different mindset, isn't it? Because though the body is afflicted, though the outer core might be, and even the mind and the heart might be downcast, there is a deep well. And it comes from the knowledge of this God, Yahweh, who we read of this morning. And that joy of the Lord can be your strength in hard times. I don't know if any of us have been imprisoned, but Paul and Silas, they're in their stocks. They began to sing hymns. They began to sing praise, and they weren't just singing, you know, quietly because the prisoners heard them. They must have been rejoicing. And that shows you that the joy of the Lord does not depend on your outer circumstance. Doesn't depend on you waking up in the morning and suddenly the feeling of depression or the feeling of anxiety or whatever you might be facing in your life. The joy of the Lord is deep. The joy in the Lord, Paul writes, he said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Say that with me. No. Rejoice in the Lord always, he says. And again, I say rejoice. The fourth point I want to look at is the joy of the Lord will give you strength to overcome. He'll give you strength to resist enemies in your life. Now, we know we don't have time to read the whole book of Nehemiah this morning, but if we did, we would find out that there were three accusers, Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem. These were the enemies of discouragement. They came up to the workers, they came up to Nehemiah, and they caused many distractions to come to them. They said, why bother building? You won't make it. Have you ever felt that? Have you ever sensed that in your lives as believers? You know, I consider the building of the ark as the building of the house of God, building up of the church, and how often the enemies came when they saw that great ark being built. And they said to Noah and his sons, and they laughed and scorned, and yet they built. Yet they built. And so we are building, dear friends. God is building his church, but we together are co-laborers with him. Peter talks about us being living stones as believers, all of us, built upon the chief cornerstone, which is Christ Jesus. And so, you know, there is nothing more the devil wants to do than to take your joy or give you a counterfeit joy. Give you a counterfeit joy. You know, the devil's joys are fleeting. The counterfeit joys he offers, the things in this life that he promises, the pleasures and sins for a season, you know, they are fleeting. They will disappear. But the joy of the Lord is everlasting. It is eternal. And so we see in Nehemiah's day that Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem, they come against this building of this work. And we've got to be aware that there are enemies out there, that the devil, he is the accuser of the brethren, that those who are in the world who are trying to distract you away. You know, if you're in a circle of friends that you know that are distracting you away, are pulling you away from God, that can't be good. Can't be good in the life of the Christian. And so these enemies, they came and they said, come down. You know, come down and talk with me, said Geshem. And they try to distract them away from the work and the building of this work, which is the church of God. And this is what God is doing this morning. He is building up a church, living stones. And you know, the joy of the Lord is our strength. You know, we can rely on that rock. There is nothing else that you can rely on that is as steadfast and fixed as that promise to you and I this morning, that the joy of the Lord can be your strength. Don't let the devil discourage you, brethren, if you are doing a good work for God. You know, the accusers even said, you're prideful. You're prideful, Nehemiah, doing this work. They accused Nehemiah of pride because the work was starting to show. It started to look good. The walls, the breaches were being built up. And the enemy knows if you're building a life that's fixed on Christ, the enemy will do anything to dissuade you, to discourage you from that. But we can overcome, we can resist the enemies by having the joy of the Lord. And the joy of the Lord will be your strength. That joy, that fountain of life, knowing, number one, that you're saved, understanding the Word of God, the Holy Spirit enlightening the Word of God to your hearts, understanding that the joy of the Lord is your strength, even in difficult times. And now understanding that the joy of the Lord will give you strength to overcome. He'll give you strength to resist the enemies and temptations in your life. You know, Nehemiah is a book about that building, about building the walls. But the Lord wants us to build. He wants us to build through encouragement. He wants us to build this morning through edification, through the encouragement one of another, through the practical help and love together as a congregation, that the walls might be built up, that the enemies might not have inroads, that we would be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, that we might be a visible church here on the earth that people can see, people can look to, and they can glory in our God, and they can rejoice in our Lord as well, that we might build a platform here, our very congregation, unto which can be a strong foundation, and people can look and say, the Lord, He is God, the Lord, He is God. You know, there might be weeping in your heart. There might be weeping over missed opportunities, over times that were missed with the Lord. But the Lord says today, start today. Open the Word of God. Don't look at your past and how you've slipped up. But the joy of the Lord is offered this morning. From this point forward, His Word never changes. It's true of those who were in this time that as the book of God was opened and they gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading, that the people wept, and rightly so. But then He says to them, go your way and eat the fat and drink the sweet. Send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto the Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, hold your peace, for this day is holy, neither be ye grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink, and to send portions and to make mirth, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. Oh, how I pray that the Word of God might be real and living in your life and in my life on a day-to-day basis, that we might understand the words of God, be quickened and be made alive. You know, Paul writes to Timothy and he says, I will that men would pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. In Psalm 30, verse 5, we read that weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. You know, let your tears of sorrow, because that's the first step, sorrow over your sin, sorrow from how far you fall short of this standard of this book. Make that turn to joy in the Lord. Let that turn to joy. You know, two warnings about this and the hindrance of the joy of the Lord is the first thing is sin. Sin will hinder your joy. Sin will hinder your joy and therefore take away your strength. Look into your hearts, dear friends. If the joy of the Lord, if the well and the fountain is not springing up, I'm not talking about your personality, because some people are more exuberant than others, but I'm talking about the inner joy. If that is being quenched, if that is being stopped, is it sin? Is it sin? Is it unconfessed sin? Is it something that's separating you from God? You know, in fellowship, you're breaking fellowship with God, and there's a hindrance, and the fountain isn't flowing like it should, and the joy isn't springing up in your life. Get down on your knees. I encourage you, get down before God as His people did, and mourn and weep and let your weeping turn to joy. Because that is how you get the true joy of the Lord. It's through acknowledging sin and confessing sin. And I don't mean just generalizing sin, because it's so easy to say, well, Lord, just forgive all my sins and I give them to you. But pray and say, God, what is it in my life? What is it? Put your finger on my life. What's quenching the joy? What's quenching the fountain of life springing forth? You know, don't settle for temporary joys, dear friends. I want to encourage you, because you'll live a Christian life where you won't truly have the joy of the Lord as your strength. You might be His child, and these people were God's children. They were God's children, but they weren't awakened yet to that inner, deep joy. And you know, you'll coast along, and you'll never truly get right with God. You'll never truly be fruitful for God until you come to that place where you say, Lord, what's quenching? What's stopping the flow, the inflow and the outflow? Could it be sin marring my relationship with you? Don't be afraid to come to Him. Bow before Him. He's not there to condemn. Sin is the thing He takes away. He is the only one that can take away sin. And so if there is sin stopping relationship, confess, acknowledge, bring it down before God. As I said before, get real with God. He'll get real with you. And you'll find that true joy springing forth. Joy unto everlasting life. You know, because the joy and the foretaste of joy we have on this earth is the joy of heaven. It's the joy of eternity. It's Christ indwelling you. And so I can't impress this point enough. Sin will hinder your joy. I've only got two warnings. But sin will hinder your joy, and therefore it will take away your strength. There's nothing more the devil wants to do than take away the strength of God's people. Because, you know, if we as a body and as a people and as individuals collectively can walk in the strength and in the joy of the Lord, surely we can reach others for Him. Surely we won't be so focused on self and our inner circle here. But we can go forth with joy and with praise and power and see people coming in for His glory. The second warning is worry. This will hinder your joy in the Lord. Doubt, worry, the cares of this life. Oh, how the devil wants to just, you know, sweep us away with doubt, with worry, with concerns for this life. You know, the Lord, He makes His provision so great. We have everything we need in this life. But it seems our society is intent on getting more. It seems our society is hell-bent on getting more. And so rather than us as believers being content in the Lord, which is great gain, we look and our eyes have wandered to the things of this world, and we've got to come back. We've got to come back. Be focused in on the Lord. Let Him be your true joy and your all in all. Let other things, peripheral things, just slip by the wayside. They will take care of themselves. I can say that truly from experience. They will take care of themselves. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. But worry and doubt about the cares of this life, isn't it one of the main things that choked the good seed of God? That choked that which God wants to bring and spring forth in your life. So I only have two warnings, but they were very prominent to me as I sat and meditated on this passage of Scripture, on this book, Nehemiah. You know, the joy of the Lord, the joy of your salvation will be your strength. The understanding of God's Word, the illumination of this Word to your hearts will be your joy, will be your strength. God's joy, the joy of the Lord, will be your strength in hard times. And the joy of the Lord will give you strength to overcome and resist the devil, the enemies. But those two warnings, take them also to heart, dear friends. Sin will hinder your joy. You know, it will hinder a lot of things. But fellowship with Christ is joy. And if there's sin breaking that, give it to Christ. Give it to Him. Get down on your knees and pray. Really, really pray to the Lord. I don't know who I'm speaking to this morning, I'm speaking to myself first and foremost, I know that. But get down and get down daily before God. God, I want the joy. Let it spring forth from me. If I see it being quenched, be sensitive to that. Lord, what is stopping that joy? What is stopping that fountain from flowing in the power and in the measure that it's going? You know, the world will see you as weak. They will regard you as a weakling. But if you have the power of God, what else could you ever want to possess? The true joy, the strength of the Lord. That's the joy. He's talking about His joy. The very joy that God has can be yours. The very joy, he says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And down the corridors of time to us, that poignant verse, the joy of the Lord is your strength. May it hit our hearts. May it really hit home for you and I this morning that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Don't let the devil take away your strength. Don't let him take it away. If he can take your joy, he'll take your strength. Give yourself to God. I want to give myself to God more fully and wholly. I really do. Because you know that fountain, that deep fountain, I'm just closing with this thought. But that deep fountain, and that well rather, is so deep that you can just draw and draw and draw, and that bucket can go deeper and deeper and deeper. There is no bottom to that well of joy, that wellspring of joy. And so if you've gotten so far in your Christian life, go deeper. Go deeper. Thirst and hunger for this living God, because everything around us, dear friends, it's passing away. Could be gone tomorrow. Could be gone tonight for you individually or for us collectively as a people. But the joy of the Lord, we can take that with us unto eternity. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, just want us to bow now and to consider our hearts. I pray that everyone in this room would take time now, not when they go home, Lord, but take time now, because the devil, he will desire to steal away the opportunity for us to pray, to come to you in genuineness, Lord. And I come to you this morning genuinely, and I come before your people, and we as a people come and say, Lord, make the joy of the Lord our strength. Strengthen us in the inner man. May we say, rejoice in the Lord always, and rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. May we echo those words as a people. May we look at the temptations. May we look at the discouragements and all the things that this world wants to offer in society and say, I choose Jesus. I choose the living God, and I choose His joy. I pray that you would do a work and kindle a fire in every heart, just as you did by your Holy Spirit to the people of God in Nehemiah's day, that they stood up and they exclaimed and rejoiced when they heard the word of God. And then they sorrowed and mourned over how far short they fell. But this morning, Lord, we rejoice in Christ alone. We rejoice in His perfect and finished work on the cross. We rejoice that He arose from the dead on the third day. We rejoice that He ascended into heaven and is now at the right hand of God, making intercession for us. We rejoice that our names are written in the book of life, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I pray we could take this word to heart this morning and take heed, Lord, also to those two warnings, Father. Please, Lord, keep us. Keep us from sin. Keep us, Lord, from the temptation of the enemy. Keep us also from worry, Lord. Keep us from the discouragement of this world, that your joy may go through us unhindered. It might be as a stream of living water, that others might taste and see that the Lord is good. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Amen. Amen.